Hi, I'm Leia, and I am in Seattle with my sister.
Yay!
So at recording time, we'll be publishing this a fair bit later, but right now it is nearing the end of summer, and I am huddled in Coley's office on a potentially rainy day. It's a bit cloudy out there, mm-hmm. huh? A little bit
chilly.
And we are reveling in our sister time. So what could be better? I am, at time of recording, on my summer break from Beijing and from my job as an international school teacher, and loving the freedom, fun, and family time.
Mm-hmm. I'm Nicole, Leia's baby sister, otherwise known as Coley.
Yes.
And I'm delighted to have my beloved sister here with me after 3 long years of being apart.
Oof.
I'm halfway through my summer. That's been chock-a-block full of visitors and gardening and lots of creating.
Yes. And remembering that when we do publish this, it's going to be like... I don't know, November or something, but you know, just it'll take you back to the summer.
We're the two chit chat chicks.
Like always, we'll be sharing chit chat tips and tricks,
safety pins and power strips.
We'll gather around the campfire to chat about burning topics,
finding your what's next,
and of course, we'll have our chit chat challenge of the week.
In our chit chat tips and tricks segment, we share things that make our lives just a little bit happier or better. Leia, you go first.
Okay, so I'm here today to talk about extension cords, Coley, and or power strips that you take along when you travel.
Okay. Very wise.
Okay. So for me, I have a lot of, you know, especially when traveling with family, we have all sorts of things to plug in. And when you're in a hotel room, sometimes you can't even find the plug. It's behind the bed or, right?
Absolutely.
So usually there is one place where you can find a plug in, at least one, but sometimes only one. So I have taken on this idea of bringing an extension cord whenever we take off and go away. And the thing that I actually really love about this for me is that I'm very particular with lighting.
That you are, as am I.
We can only deal with warm lights. So sometimes you end up, especially if you stay in like Schitt's Creek motels, like we do sometimes, with these harsh overhead lights, or even if there is a lamp, it's just, it's nasty. It's white light, and it just makes me almost go into convulsions. So I usually travel with my IKEA clippable light. With a warm light bulb, so I can plug that in wherever I go. And it's small, it doesn't take up too much space, so that's, you know, that's helpful for me. But so with an extension cord, this is if you're traveling in your home country, right? Like America and Canada, it's all the same voltage,
right,
is that
right.
What you say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you don't need to worry about it. But even at airports, I've been known to bring out my extension cord and charge things, and other people then can benefit from
Very
your charge,
smart.
Right?
How generous of you.
I know. So I'm not a cool traveler. I try to be carry-on only. It doesn't tend to work so well for me. As
I
you
haven't
know.
Heard that term before, coo.
Oh, that's
no,
because...
you do not know how to travel light.
No.
You could not do tips and tricks on light traveling. I'm sorry.
Well, Nicole, it hasn't been published yet, but I did a whole big thing on cooing that will be coming out soon. You'll hear it, and you will laugh heartily because you know it doesn't work for me. At present in Nicole's basement, there's just piles and piles of Amazon boxes and duffel bags and rolly bags, and yeah, it's
true.
It's a challenge. But then why not shove in an extension cord, right? But the other thing is, it's not just an extension cord. What you do need to remember if you're traveling abroad is to bring a travel plug adapter that works with the country that you're going
to. Sure.
Because throughout Europe it's different, in Asia it's different. So we found this to be indispensable. I'm not going to recommend a particular one, but just make sure that there are plenty of USB ports in your travel adapter and you're
mm-hmm.
made in the shade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of ISB ports, though, we have a separate little ISB port. Multi-pronged thing, I guess
yeah,
you would
yeah.
call it.
That's what I mean.
Where you can plug in 3 or 4 things mm-hmm. into that.
Yeah.
So then you can charge all your devices on one outlet.
Exactly.
Because as you say, lots of those hotels and Airbnbs may only have one accessible.
Right.
Plug.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That's a great tip, Leia.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. So what do you have to say
Very good.
Yeah, I know. I know. So what do you have to say? We're doing the practical today.
We are. My tip involves the humble safety pin.
Mm.
This, the first part of it actually comes courtesy of our beloved Mutti, who passed this trick on to me. Mm-hmm. Somehow not on to you, because you didn't know this.
I'm not practical like
true,
you are.
True. It's as simple as attaching a safety pin onto an inside zipper in your purse or bag or backpack or all three of them, really.
Uh-huh.
You never know when a safety pin's going to come in handy.
So how big of a safety pin?
Not a teeny one. And like a big old diaper pin, that would be too big. Just like a medium or large. Maybe you could put several.
Okay.
You know, one that's sturdy enough to hold things shut. Because there's always accidents that happen.
Such as?
Your button falls off or your zipper breaks on your jacket or even on your backpack.
Mm-hmm.
I've used my safety pins numerous times for students who've had issues with their coats or backpacks themselves.
Yes.
So you always have to remember to put a new one in if you've given yours away.
Mm-hmm.
They just come in handy for all kinds of things. I have to admit, I've even used mine to floss my teeth when something's stuck in my teeth, like a little poopy thing to get in there and just like
get that
thing out. It's kind of gross, I know, and I don't recommend
even thumbtacks. Gross.
But in addition to Mommy's purse suggestion, mm-hmm. I came up with another place that's proven to be super useful, and that is I put a safety pin in the back of my straw hat. Mine has like a little string, a tie string in the back of my straw hat, and I put a safety pin on there because oftentimes when you're out and about, you might come into a windy setting where your hat could potentially blow off. Like say you're out in your kayak or on a boat or even just a windy day.
Mm-hmm.
What I'll do is when I sense that possibly happening, I'll pin the safety pin. It stays pinned to the hat, but then it also gets pinned to the elastic on my ponytail.
Right. Yeah.
So that way if it does get whipped off, it doesn't fly away.
So good.
Yeah, I've used it a lot of times. Unfortunately, I don't think it would work for our short-haired listeners.
Okay. Well, let's see.
Like, what would you pin it to? But
they can use safety pins for other things.
Yes, they can.
And if you have any other ingenious tips for safety pins, put them on the Chit Chat Coop on Facebook for us.
We want to know.
We want to know.
Yeah. I do think it would also work on a baseball hat if you just like attached it on the little...
Yeah, that little band,
little
back
thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but anyway,
Coley, so good, so good. Hey, do I hear a campfire?
Do I hear a campfire tune?
It's time for campfire chat.
So. My sister and I have been wanting to do this episode for a long time, and we are finally together, so we're going to make this happen.
Yay!
I know. So, Nicole, why don't you start us off by telling us about your motto in life?
Well, I think my motto in life has actually been developing for a long, long time. I think I've been innately adhering to it without actually naming it,
mm-hmm.
but I have recently named it, and it is, what's next.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Some people are change adverse, but I've realized that change is something that really excites me and propels me.
Well, you know, I think it might be in our DNA because I feel like I'm exactly the same. Hence, you know, my 30 some years abroad.
Yeah. Well,
abroad
you know,
and,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was actually thinking about our grandparents and parents the other day and how they have had a lot of what's next forced upon them.
Yeah,
and
no
that's
kidding.
Maybe why stability and their mm-hmm. homesteads mm-hmm. and like staying in one place and keeping one job became so fiercely important to them.
That's interesting because we are first generation Canadians. Our parents both immigrated when they were tweens or teens, right, to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
And I think both you and I couldn't wait to get out of the family home and start our own adventures, right?
The day I graduated, boom, bye-bye.
Same.
I mean, I loved going back, too. But
yeah, we weren't trying to escape anything per se. We just were ready to do our own stuff.
Have some adventures,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Get out of Greendale.
Right. Yeah. So my what's next, that's a hard thing to say, have really, a lot of it have involved moving for us. Yes. We've moved a ton in our marriage, most often for school or work reasons. I remember mommy telling me that she finally started writing our address in pencil in her address book so she could erase it and change it easily for the inevitable next location.
Poor mommy. Same with us too, right? Just the two daughters were full of address changes.
Yeah, I think in our first 15 years of marriage, we had lived in 12 different places.
Wow.
Like some were just like from one dumpy basement suite to the next.
Sure.
Like not huge location moves, but others were big, like immigrating to America. Mm-hmm. And then when we quit our jobs and moved to Bangladesh, like there were some big ones in there. But anyway, for others, moving seems to be something that's really extremely stressful. But for me, it's always been exciting
about
the fresh start and new people and places I'd get to see. It's energizing for me to set up a new place. And like, I think you like to move furniture around too. Like that's a sort of what's next in a way as well. Like,
right. You can change your environment where you are, right?
Yeah.
Well, in fact, Nicole, we are leaving here in a week to go back to China, and we will be in a new place as soon as we arrive because we were moved in the absence of us this summer.
Wow.
So it was a move that was forced upon us because of, you know, the Chinese government buying our apartment and blah, blah, blah. It's a silly story. But whatever the case, we had people help us move. And as soon as we walk in the door next week, the day before I have to be back at work, I will be in a new house with all of my furniture sorted out, everything unpacked and ready to go.
That's
so
a big one.
That's a force. But, you know, it's fine. I'm kind of looking forward to a new place.
Cool.
So you were going to say something about your kayak?
Oh, well, it's just kind of a joke. So you know how people have names on their boats?
Mm-hmm.
Carl and I always joked that if we ever had a boat and we don't want one, all we have is a kayak, and we're perfectly happy with that. But we would name it What's Next, because I'm lucky enough to have a partner who actually also likes change. Although we're very stable as a couple, we both really do like changing things up and doing new things, and so that's fun. So it's kind of it's my motto, but it can also be a family motto, I guess.
Nice.
Not our children, though, interestingly enough.
Okay,
I think they're reverting back to our parents' ways.
Uh-huh.
We've given them too many what's next, and they just crave the stability.
The same.
Huh.
Exactly the same. Don and I are, you know, ready to go at a moment's notice, and our kids are like, what? Really? Why? Yeah. Well, Nicole, I have a huge what's next coming up because even though we're moving to a new apartment in Beijing, that is only for this school year, and we are done. Then we are leaving China.
Huge.
It's really massive. So I left Canada when I was 28 years old. Came back for about 9 months at some point when I was waiting for my fiance visa because Don is American. But we are coming back to Canada. Don's becoming a Canadian citizen. And this is all happening in June, July of next year. So the what's next is going to be massive, massive for us. Like huge culture shock and you know, job ending in our international school career, which we've had for, you know, 25, 30 years. And
so exciting.
It really is.
And scary, but such an impetus to like do something different.
And we really don't know what's next. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have this idea that I'd like to become a digital nomad. I'm not sure how that's going to manifest yet, but this is my year of trying some things out, figuring a few things out. But we spent a little time on Vancouver Island this summer, and we own a house there, and so we have a place to go to. So that's stability already, so that's wonderful. And but we're thinking, man, Nicole, Canada is just so expensive. And you know, I still love teaching, and I love, you know, getting up and having a purpose other than hanging out. And so, you know, I don't think we're ready to retire per se. We want to keep making money, and we want to just keep doing things that make us happy. So what that's going to look like, have no freaking idea. So it's just a big...
The world is your oyster.
Well, I guess it is. Well, Canada's our oyster anyway.
Yeah, you're living right by the beach, so that's a good comparison.
So good. So good. Yeah. So let's just see what happens.
Yeah. Well, kind of, I made some career changes myself recently after the pandemic, which changed a lot of things for a lot of people. It sort of gave me an impetus to make a change, and I stepped down from my full-time kindergarten teaching position and made a transition into a subbing role, and also took on a teaching or a supervisory position with City University supervising student teachers, which has been fun. And the best thing about both those jobs, in addition to that I like the work, is that they're both flexible. Right. So I can make my own time, and that's just opened up a lot of time and mental energy to nurture my creative interests.
Yes, and
that's my biggest what's next that I want to talk about.
I'm excited to hear about this. I know about it, but I want to hear more. Substitute teaching, as an aside, is really a great kind of segue, or just, it's just a great job for those of us who are already credentialed teachers, where you do have that flexibility, and you know, the money's not bad. You can say no to things that it's like, no, I'm not taking that grade three class from hell.
And it actually works with that personality trait of mine that likes change, because I can be in a different class or a different environment or different grade every day or a different school, and I don't mind that. I kind of like it.
Okay. So, well, I'm going to say that may be in my future too. So
it's not all bad. Could be consulting scary for some with people, you. As long as you have strong classroom management. But that's a different story.
That's a whole other episode. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about how your what's next has turned into some amazing creative endeavors that you are.
Yeah. Well, thanks for saying
that. Oh my gosh. Well, let's just shout out to Nicole's Instagram page, Find, F-I-N-E-D, and Refined, R-E-F-I-N-E-D, because you can see some of the art that she has been producing right there. So we'll put that in the show notes, but just tell us
yes,
more.
Yes, yes. So I've always enjoyed being creative and doing things with my hands. Gardening and rug hooking and other kinds of fiber art were always my thing. But these hands of mine, my hands are starting to look like our mother's hands. I began to develop pretty severe hand pain in my right hand and shoulder, and it really was enough to grind a lot of the stuff that I love to do right to a halt. I just had to stop. And I was pretty low for a while, because it's just really what creativity really fuels me. And so this became a case of a what's next sort of being forced upon me instead of a choice, like the moving and the other things that I'd done up to that point. So what I decided to do, in addition to medical things like getting therapy and taking anti-inflammatories, was to try to find a new creative outlet. And although I had never been a sketcher or even a doodler prior to this point, like stick people was what I was doing, I decided to give drawing a try, because I realized that holding a pencil lightly in my hand was not hurting me. So I thought, why not give it a whirl?
Right, right. Well, remember, Nicole, when we were kids and Daddy got us a sketchbooks, right?
We
each had big three of us kids got three white, big, thick, you know, just empty pages of books. And
Anthony,
our brother
would draw
Anthony,
sports characters.
Oh, and he was so good. I mean, he's been
he's
a drawer.
The expert drawer.
He's an expert. It just seems like he was born with some skill there. Mine were all librarians. I had this dream that I was going to be a librarian, so I had just like hundreds of pages of.
I drew a lot of shoes.
You did.
I was really into shoes.
Yeah, I remember that too. And you scribbled on ours.
I did, because I was little when we first got them. Sorry about that.
So you were sketching when you were young.
I suppose, Anyway, that skill was laying dormant for a long time.
Right?
But last June, we took a trip to France, and I decided to bring along a sketchbook and do just a daily sketch from each place that we stayed, either a view from a window or a place that we visited, just to sort of mark the place and help to remember it. And I was so tentative at first, like looking back at those sketches, like you can barely even see them because my pencil lines were so light. And I was very painstakingly slow and worried about every little single line that I was drawing. But I loved it. I really loved it. And one thing that I loved about it is the way it really slowed me down on a vacation, and just I was savoring the place and the moment that I was in.
And observing, noticing, being present.
It was really, it was like a beautiful little illustrated travel journal without having to write any words. And I guess I've realized that you can, that I enjoy telling stories with pictures.
Well, and words.
And you're words. Also a talented writer. I'm a good writer, but somehow this the illustrating has really been the thing that's been developing for me this year. Yeah, so after the trip, I continued to practice over that summer and drawing local places that caught my interest. And
you joined a group too, right?
Yeah, well, the group, that's kind of when things went, when things really changed for me. And not really, but in January, at the start of the new year, I thought, okay, new year, new challenge, let's kind of make this a regular habit. So I joined this group called the Sketchbook Squad.
And Instagram or?
It's an Instagram group. Yeah, I had created an Instagram account for myself that was just for my art, not personal pictures of families and stuff like that. I just wanted it to be just for art. And so started following a lot of artists and things that interested me and found this group. And it's been really great. So every day you get a photo prompt. And so everybody in the group looks at that photo and interprets it in some way that they like, whether it's sketching or painting, or some people even collage it. You never know. Some people do digital art. And then you share it with the hashtag. And it's been just a really fun way to meet a lot of other artists.
Yes.
To see what other people are doing. Like how just like my mind is blown sometimes by like we're all looking at the same picture and the art that we create and interpret from it is so different.
I love that.
Yeah, that's been really exciting. And I think the thing I like best about it is the support that I've felt from other artists. Some of the people in the group are like professional artists.
Right.
A lot of them are like me. We're amateurs and we're muddling our way around and having fun. But everybody is so supportive and you get really nice feedback. It's a very positive energy group.
Okay. So,
and it's forced me to draw a lot of things I never would have dreamed of drawing. Like lots of animals. I never thought I would draw animals.
Right.
And sometimes I'll sort of avoid those ones, but then I make myself go back and do it. And it's really expanded my skill set. And
cool,
it's been good. It's kind of emboldened me and pushed me a little. And it's not always my favorite thing to do, but it's something that keeps me accountable.
Right. But then you're also, you're drawing every single day something from your day, right?
Well, my one little mini thing that I do every day is the daily calendar, which you've been a part of a lot this summer.
Cute little Leia is in
so
there.
So I have this calendar where each day is like a 3x4 centimeter square, and I draw something from the day.
It's so cool. You have to check this out on Nicole's Instagram, Find and Refine, because it's until you see it, you can't even imagine it. That's tiny little drawings. Yeah, that are just,
it's been a really fun practice. It takes me only about 5 minutes every day, maybe 10.
Really?
But it's cool because it keeps me thinking all day long, like what is something from this day that I want to cherish and remember?
Yes.
Yeah. Or, you know, sometimes it's something that's not great that I draw a picture of, but it's fun and it's teeny. So if I do nothing else that day, I do have my little 5 minute sketch that I do.
Yeah.
But I've discovered that I really love, my favorite thing to do is to storytell through my through my pictures. Yeah. And so whether like our trip to New Zealand that we took, I started sort of started doing these more collage-y type sketches.
And you started painting too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It started out with pencil sketch and then it turned into adding some ink and now
what's
I like
next?
To add
what's
watercolor
next?
And trying some new mediums. So yeah.
That's so cool.
I find it most meaningful when I get to draw something that's personal. So like I did a picture of our Omi Schmidt milking a cow last week.
And
I almost was crying while I was doing it because it just felt like this deep connection.
Right.
To take something that I've seen on this photograph and somehow internalize it.
It's
been a huge what's next for me.
Love it
I don't
so much.
Claim to be an expert, but I sure am having fun doing
well, you know, and I would say that you have some, you know, you have some, what is the right word, latent? I don't know. You have some amazing talent that you didn't know you had. And maybe you're not acknowledging, but you should, because this is, it's just so, like, you haven't trained. And so I think my sister-in-law, Therese, who's quite a famous quilt artist, said it, right? She said, like, your work just feels so fresh and so different from what one usually sees. She also
juvenile.
Said, what? No, not juvenile. No, she said she could see your drawings, your sketches on a New Yorker cover. Wow. So, you know, come on.
High praise.
I know. I'm
blushing. You can't see me, but I'm blushing.
Well, take it and accept it and run with it. So again, I'm just going to say I'm still finding my what's next. It's, you know, it's very multi-pronged and I haven't figured it all out yet what it's going to involve. You know, when I was a little girl, I always imagined that I'd be a lady evangelist.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
I was just super into it. And at church, like sometimes I would hop up and I'd have things to say. I don't know what I was saying. It was kind of a lot of nonsense. But I've always been a pretty good storyteller.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I tell my stories with words, either spoken or written. And both of those are areas that I love. I want my what's next to involve speaking, to involve some sort of motivational speaking and or stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. So we are fitting this into the chit-chat, the two chit-chat chicks. I'm going to try to do some stand-up at least once in every 10 episodes.
That is so exciting.
I know, to get my start.
I think you were made for this.
To get my start in a safe place where, mm-hmm. you know, the chit-chat chicks and roosters already know
already
me a little bit.
Yeah, that's cool because, you know, one of the risks of doing a what's next or embracing a what's next is you're making yourself vulnerable.
Very
right?
much
Especially
so.
In something like a stand-up comedian.
Right.
Or like anytime you post something that's public, you'd sort of like... Ah, am I being judged?
I know,
what do people
right?
think of me? And who am I to think that I can do this?
Yeah, right?
And all those self-doubts.
Right. But right? you know, like every time I watch stand-up comedy, and I love to watch it, I just think, I can do that.
Absolutely,
and I'd be funny.
You can.
People would love me. So
you go, girl.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, my what's next was started during the pandemic and it was starting this podcast,
mm-hmm.
right?
You're living it.
And I for years, because with my students, I would always, you know, we'd make goals and set goals and whatnot. And one of them was always, I'm going to start a podcast. And I didn't. Mm-hmm. And then the time came where it's just like all the, you know, the stars aligned and I tried in a closet.
I remember you telling me
in the Sierra Nevadas when we were trapped in the Shining House, you know, it didn't go well. But then after that, I actually published something. I've since taken it down. But we ended up in Madison while we were after that, while we were trapped during the pandemic before we could get back to China. And one of my closest, dearest friends, Edie, who's the second of the two chit-chat chicks, I was just like, Edie, do you want to do this with me? And somehow, like, we were just in the right place at the right time and super motivated, and it became this labor of love.
We're sure glad you did it.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's been such a delight. And I think like you, even though it's a huge investment of time, and, you know, just organizing with another person too, especially when we're in different time mm-hmm. zones, when to do it and to talk about what our topics will be and blah, blah, blah. And then the editing. Now I've become a producer. So that's another what's next. I've learned how to edit mm-hmm. and to, you know, I know this isn't the most professional podcast in the world, but I've learned about sound equipment. I've learned how to record more effectively.
You have more than just soft skills now.
You're right. I'm a techie person. I can put that on my resume. Uh-huh. Maybe I can be podcast producer for other mm-hmm. people. No, thank you. No. But anyway, that's just been an amazing journey for me. And I just just fills me with so much delight.
So it was worth the risk.
It's totally worth the risk.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
do you still struggle with self-doubt and those other things that happen when you take a risk like that?
Well, it's interesting because... You know, I don't struggle with talking with you or Edie or any of our other guests on the podcast. No, I don't have any self-doubt about that. And I have to listen to myself again because I have to do the editing. So I'm fine with that. But then and I'm fine, you know, in the classroom or even working with adults and doing, you know, leading small seminars or whatever. But the idea of taking that a step further, for example, with stand-up comedy,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's terrifying,
mm-hmm.
terrifying, mm-hmm. But also super invigorating and energizing to think about and to start to plan. So that's pretty cool. So I'm on a journey with this podcast. I want to also extend that to some e-courses. Mm-hmm. My daughter Charlotte and I are working on a web page that should be live by the time that this podcast is aired, and you'll be able to see some of the things that I'm offering that I hope will be done by that mm-hmm. time.
Fantastic.
So I'm on this journey that has started with the podcast, but that I think will become much, much more. Yeah.
So when you take a small step, it leads to possibly bigger steps.
Right. Yeah. If you want it to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I
have this secret hope that I can write and illustrate my own children's book. So maybe that'll be my what's next in the next few years.
Right.
I'm developing my skills, and we'll see where it goes.
100%. 100%.
Cool.
Okay. So it's time for the chit chat challenge of the week.
This week, your challenge is to think about what your next move can be and do something to get yourself started.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So every week we share our Chit Chat Challenge of the Week on the Chit Chat Coop on Facebook. So we would invite you, if you haven't already, to join us there. It's a really fun place to hang out with other listeners to the podcast and, you know, discuss things both fun and serious and, you know, whatever you have to say.
Absolutely.
It's a good place to be. So. Yay for that.
Yay. So that's it for this episode of the Two Chit Chat Chicks.
Yes,
and one extra.
Yes. Complimentary or bonus Chit Chat Chick. Yes. So check out our show notes for links to our Instagrams, including Nicole's, and to Etsy's Etsy store, Prairie Girl Greetings. And of course, we'll also have the link there to the Chit Chat Coop.
Bye-bye.
Cluck, cluck.